Church. Vinny Church, how you guys doing today? You doing good? It's so great to see you. Hey, if you're a guest or a visitor, maybe this is your first time. Maybe you got bribed to come along with money or free lunch afterwards. I'm so happy that you decided to join us today. Let me introduce myself. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm super grateful that as a church, we get to worship God in multiple locations. You know, we have our Glendale campus right here where we're gathered today. We have our Surprise campus out in Surprise, and we have our online community. And would you join me in giving a shout out to our online community real quick? We love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we still have around 1,000-ish people who join us every week online, not just from all around the country, but from all around the world. How do I know that? Because my family are from England, and I know at least my dad's watching right now. So we have been in this series called God and Healing. We're going to be learning from God's Word, the Bible, today. And the first piece of scripture we're going to be looking at is Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to 42. So if you have a Bible with you, maybe you have an app on your phone or your tablet or your watch or your laptop or whatever it is the kids are using these days. When you open up to Acts chapter 9 verses 32 to 42, that's kind of like our first big chunk of scripture. I want you to be ready for that. And as I said, we've been in this series called God and Healing over the past few weeks. And today we're going to wrap it up. So throughout this series, we've looked at some tough but important questions such as, why do we experience suffering and sickness? What does the Bible actually say about healing? You know, why does healing happen sometimes and not other times? You know, how does all of this tie into the kingdom of God breaking in here and now? And let me remind you, these aren't just theological questions. They're real life questions. You know, some of us are living with pain in our bodies right now. Some of us are watching people we love suffer. Some of us are wrestling with disappointment because we've prayed and nothing has changed. And in the middle of all of that, we're asking, what is God doing? So if you've missed any of the earlier messages in this series, I want to encourage you, go back, watch or listen to them. They're up on our website. They're on our YouTube channel. It'd be great for you to learn all of those things. But today we're going to finish this series by asking the question, why does God still heal? What's his heart behind it? What's the purpose? And to get there, I want to start by recapping three of the reasons we've already talked about in this series. The first reason that God heals is to destroy one of his enemies. I don't know if you know this, but God has enemies, and I'm not talking about Dallas Cowboy fans. Come on. Come on. America's team. God has enemies, but not people, but powers. Things like sin, sickness, and death. Now, these are not just unfortunate parts of life. They're intrusions. Things that were never supposed to be here. See, when God created the world, there was no disease, no decay, no pain, no death. All of that came after sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. Romans 5:12 explains it like this. Just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. You know, that verse reminds us that brokenness entered the world through sin and it's been spreading ever since. But then Jesus shows up. And Jesus doesn't avoid sickness or pretend that death isn't real. Jesus walks straight into it. And why? Because he came to destroy it. In the book of 1 John 3:8, it says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. And one of the ways he destroys those works is by healing people. See, when Jesus heals, it's a spiritual act of war. He's pushing back the darkness. He's saying, this does not belong in my kingdom. Healing is a foretaste of what's coming, of the day when there will be no more sickness, no more crying, no more pain. Amen? So when we see healing, we're catching a glimpse of the future breaking into the present. Now, the second reason that God heals is to authenticate his message and his messenger. There are moments in Scripture when healing acts like a megaphone. God uses it to say, hey, pay attention. What you're hearing right now, that's from me. And sometimes God heals so people know the message is legit and the person sharing it is sent by him, by God. Think about Jesus. You know, his healings weren't just random acts of kindness like we're taught in school. They were confirmation that he truly was the Messiah, the Son of God. And then later in the book of Acts, when the disciples pray for healing, it often leads to whole crowds coming to faith. Healing gets people's attention. It raises spiritual curiosity. It opens doors for the message of the gospel to be heard and believed. And the truth is, that still happens today. Sometimes a single moment of healing is what softens someone's heart to receive the good news. Now, the third reason God heals is to bring glory to himself and to Jesus. Healing points people upward. It makes us stop. It makes us worship. It stirs something deep inside of us that says, only God could do this. And that's the point. See, when someone gets healed, Jesus gets the credit. Not us, not our cleverness. Trust me, there's not much cleverness here today. I was saying, like when it gets this hot, my cleverness goes way down. Can you relate? No, it's not our prayer techniques. It's him, it's God. So when God heals, it's not to impress, it's to glorify. Now today, I want to give two more reasons that Scripture shows us about God, about why God heals, and both of them matter just as much as those first three. So the first reason is that God heals to open doors for evangelism. This is letter A on your outline. God heals to open doors for evangelism. You know, sometimes God heals just to get someone's attention. And healing opens doors for people to hear the gospel, to see Jesus for who he truly is, and then to respond to him. You know, we can see this in Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 42. Now, this is a big chunk of scripture, so we're going to break it down little by little. Let's start with Acts 9, 32 through 35. Now, in this piece of scripture, Peter is traveling from town to town. He's encouraging the early church. You know, the church had kind of just started. And he ends up in a place called Lydda. And while he's there, he meets this man named Aeneas. And he's been paralyzed for 8 years. Imagine, 8 years lying on a mat. 8 years, no walking, no independence, no healing. And now Peter doesn't give a long explanation. He simply looks at him and says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, make your bed. And just like that, he stands up, he walks, boom, instant healing. And what happens next? Let's look at verse 35. It says, all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him. They saw Aeneas. And they turn to the Lord. Two entire towns. They knew this man. They knew what had happened to him. They heard of his healing. And God used that to bring two whole towns to him. The healing led to evangelism. The physical miracle opened the door for a spiritual one. Then in Acts chapter 9, 36 through 42, we're told about a woman named Tabitha. And I just want to direct your attention to the top there. It says, which in Greek means Dorcas. Any Dorcases in the room today? I just find it so funny that the writer of Acts was like, I need to let people know. If They call her Tabitha, but her name's Dorcas. So Tabitha was a follower of Jesus, and she was deeply loved by her community, and she was known for constantly serving others, making clothes, serving widows, living generously. But then one day, tragedy strikes, she gets sick and dies. Now the believers in Joppa, they send for Peter, hoping, praying he might be able to do something. Peter arrives, and he walks up into the upper room where her body has been laid and prays. Then he says, "Tabitha, arise." In the New Living Translation, he says, "Get up, Tabitha." She opens her eyes and sits up alive. And then verse 42 says, "It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." That's the power of healing. It prepares hearts for belief. Now, I want you to imagine something like that happening today. Imagine if people across Phoenix started hearing that something supernatural was happening in church. That people who had been battling terminal illness were healed. That people with long-standing disabilities were suddenly able to walk. People would come from everywhere. Some would come out of real sincere faith. Some would come just to check out what was happening. Some would be curious. Some would be skeptical. Some might be desperate. But here's the thing, and this is important. God isn't bothered why someone comes to church. God has always worked with mixed motives. Even in the Gospels, people came to Jesus for healing, not necessarily because they wanted to follow him, and yet he met them anyway. He moved towards them. He healed them. Why? Because every encounter with God is an opportunity for transformation. Every encounter with God is an opportunity for transformation. So let me ask you, are you giving people the opportunity to encounter God? See, that's why we talk so much here about being inviters and includers. Not just when we're doing like a big series or Christmas or Easter, even though people are more likely to come on those times, but every single week. Because let me tell you, you never know what God might do in someone's life once they show up to church. Sometimes the person who's furthest from God is one healing, one prayer, one invitation away from surrendering their life to Jesus. So I want to challenge you today. Carry your six-pack invite cards everywhere you go. Look for open doors. Don't be afraid to say, "Hey, I think you'd love my church. God is really doing something there. You want to come with me this weekend?" You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing to bring people close to the presence of God. And maybe this week, you'll find yourself in a moment where someone shares a need or opens up about something that they're struggling with. Don't rush past that. Don't change the subject because it's kind of awkward. That might be the Holy Spirit nudging you. Have you ever felt that? Pause what you're doing. Simply ask if you can pray for them. Step into that moment with faith because you never know what God might do. Healing has always been one of God's ways of opening the door to something deeper. Let's not miss the opportunity to walk through the door with someone. Now, the next reason that God heals is, this is letter B, because God is loving and full of compassion. And this might be one of the more overlooked reasons that people get healed, yet it might be the most important one. God heals because he cares. Not because we're perfect, not because we say the right words, not because we did everything right, but because he is good and he's full of compassion. Amen? Let me show you a few examples straight from the Gospels. First, we're going to look at the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 36. It says this: Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. See, Jesus didn't just see their sickness. He saw their exhaustion, their confusion, how lost some of them were feeling. And his response wasn't, you know, that of an annoyed parent. His response was compassion. And that compassion moved him to heal. Is that he healed every disease and every sickness in those people. Jesus saw with compassion. He wanted to help these people. So he tells his disciples to pray for more workers. Now, why did he ask them to pray for more workers? Because Jesus was only one person. And just Jesus wasn't enough, being just one person. Therefore, he tells his disciples to pray for more workers so more people could be ministered to and loved and healed. You know, in this series, we've talked about the fact that God wants every follower of Jesus to be involved in ministry. But I found that lots of us are afraid of that word ministry. So let me break it down for you really quickly in simple terms. Ministry is just about meeting needs. It's just about meeting needs. That's all it is. When you meet a need, you know, through serving in children's ministry, helping a friend move house, you know, maybe feeding the hungry through our food bank, praying for someone who's sick, whatever. See, that's ministry. But ministry starts with compassion. Because without compassion, ministry revolves around me. And the fact is, God has compassion for the sick and the poor and the hungry and the demonized and the grieving. And God wants us to have compassion on people like that too. Now in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 42, we see Jesus' compassion again. It says, a man with leprosy came to Jesus, begging him and kneeling before him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. It says, immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, this is shocking on many levels. Let me tell you, I don't know if you know what leprosy is. It's not something that we really deal with in the Western world. But leprosy is this awful disease where like your flesh and your skin rots and falls off your body. And it's super contagious. So even by touching someone, you can catch it yourself. And in the ancient day, there would be these colonies of lepers outside of the city gates. Completely, they were outcast. And what does Jesus do? He touches the man with leprosy. You ever notice that sometimes just a physical touch could be a great way to tell someone, hey, I'm with you. I've got your back. Jesus didn't just heal him. He welcomed him. He touched him. He broke through every social barrier with compassion. And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, you know, right before the very famous story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, it says this. It says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You know, they've just been on this boat trip across the sea. You know, he was tired. The disciples were tired. They're trying to get, you know, get away somewhere for rest. But his heart, Jesus' heart, was still soft. Compassion overruled exhaustion. And then in Luke chapter 7, Jesus enters a town called Nain, and he sees a widow who's just lost her only son. Her last living family member, he's being carried out for a burial. And then verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. And he came up, he touched the coffin and said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. See, Jesus didn't do this as a teaching moment. He wasn't trying to wow the crowd. This wasn't a selfie moment to post on social media. He saw a mother's grief, and it moved his heart. That's what compassion looks like. So let me ask you something. Do you think that has changed? Do you think God has stopped being compassionate? Has Jesus stopped caring about our pain? What do you think? Of course not. Of course not. You know, we see in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." And then in Psalm 31, it says, "I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul." Some of you need to hear this today. God sees you. God cares about you. He knows those troubles in your heart. And here's where it gets personal. If you're sitting here today thinking, "I don't really feel that kind of compassion towards people," you're not alone. But don't ignore that. Start here. You know, just as an aside, some of you have been at the Vineyard for a while. We teach this. You know what the best book of the Bible is? It's the book of James, right? I don't know what's so funny about it. It's a good book of the Bible. Anyway, if you're sitting here thinking, "Man, I don't really feel that kind of compassion to people," James has these wise words. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Have you ever asked God to give you compassion? Ask him. Ask God to soften your heart. Ask him to let you see people the way that he sees people. Ask God to let you feel the way that God feels. And then if you're still wondering, what does compassion look like in real life? Let me read you something that impacted me. This guy called Joe Bailey, he lost 3 of his children over the course of several years. And in one of his books, he shared what it was like when people came to comfort him. So I'm going to read this to you. He says this: "I was sitting, torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true, but I was unmoved, except to wish he'd go away. And he finally did. Another came and sat beside me, and he didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, and left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go." That's compassion. Compassion is not flashy. It's not dramatic. It's present. Sometimes the most healing thing we can offer isn't a solution. It's just our presence. So now that we've walked through these 5 reasons, let's take a step back and ask, what does this mean for us right now? We've seen that God heals to destroy his enemies, sin, sickness, and death. He heals to confirm his message and his messengers, to bring glory to Jesus, to open the doors for evangelism. He heals because he's full of love and compassion. But none of this is just about what God did back then. It's about what he still wants to do today, amen, through us. See, in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke opens up the book by saying, "The first account I composed, Theophilus," that's the Gospel of Luke he's talking about all that Jesus began to do and teach. That one word, "began," says it all. Jesus' work didn't end with the Gospels. It didn't stop at the resurrection. The book of Acts is the continuation of what Jesus started, and it keeps going through his church today. That means the stories of healing and power and compassion, they're not meant to stay in the past. They're meant to be a part of our present. Because let me tell you something. Jesus is still healing. He's still moved by compassion. He's still using healing to draw people to himself. And yes, he's still doing it through ordinary people like you and like me. So here's what I want to ask you today. Where do you need healing? Is there something in your body that needs a touch from God? Something in your heart that feels shattered? Something in your mind, maybe anxiety or fear, shame or grief that feels too heavy to carry? You don't have to pretend to be fine. And you don't have to fix it by yourself. Bring Jesus into it. He's still moved by that same compassion. He still sees you. He still cares. And he still heals. Now, maybe you're not the one who needs healing today, but you know someone who does, and you've been wondering, what could I possibly do? Here's your answer, real simple. Care and pray. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be eloquent. You just have to be willing. Be someone who carries God's heart into everyday spaces, because healing doesn't happen just in rooms like this. It happens in living rooms, in lunch breaks, on FaceTime, you know, in hallway conversations. Anywhere compassion and faith show up, Jesus shows up too. So here's how I want us to respond today. First, ask God to give you compassion. If your heart feels a little tired, a little hard, or even a little numb, let's start there. Ask God to break your heart for what breaks his. Ask him to let you see people the way that he sees people. Second, ask for opportunities. Ask God to put people in your path, to open doors, to give you boldness to invite, to pray, to listen, to serve, to simply step towards someone with love. And third, if you need healing, ask for it. Right here, right now. Whatever the need is, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, Jesus is not far off. He's here. And he's still moved by compassion. Now, we're going to take some time to pray today. But I want to end the service a little bit differently than what we normally do. And I'm going to make this kind of like a lab or a tutorial. Now, I understand that many of us might be thinking, that sounds great, but how do I pray for healing? Now, if you don't know how to pray for healing, I'm going to teach you right now in 5 easy steps, okay? The first thing that you need to do is you need to introduce yourself. Ask them what their name is. Hi, my name is James. What's your name? Hi, I'm Dorcas. Wow. That's unfortunate, but okay. Now, the next thing you do is called discernment. This is called L-shaped listening, okay? We're listening to the person. We're saying, hey, how can I pray for you today? And Dorcas says, oh, I've sprained my ankle playing pickleball. And you're thinking, well, why aren't you playing a real sport like tennis or something? And then the other angle of the L is we're also listening to God. God, Dorcas sprained her ankle. Is there anything else that you want me to pray for? And oftentimes, God will give you like an impression or a feeling or just a sense for something. We call that the still, small voice of God. And you might just be sensing that, you know, God really wants to also tell Dorcas just how much he loves her. Or he wants to give her a sense of peace or whatever. Now, the next thing is, you know, the diagnosis. This is our discernment in action. Now, there are a few different types of way that we pray. We can intercede for people. That's when we pray to God for someone. But what we're going to do here is we're going to directly pray. We're going to give biblical commands. We're going to pray for that healing. Now, the next step is we do it. That's an easy one. Here's how you do it. I don't know why the Bible says this. There are some things that are just a mystery, but we do them because we're commanded to. But there's something about laying our hands on people when we pray. Have you seen that at church before? There's something about, maybe it's just to have that physical touch like Jesus did with the leper to say, hey, I have your back. I'm here with you. So we lay our hand on that person in an appropriate area. You might want to lay your hand on the place that's causing them physical pain. You know, Dorcas, her ankle. Maybe I want to touch her ankle. Maybe I just want to rest my hand on her shoulder. Does it really matter? And here's the most important part. When we're praying for someone like this, we keep our eyes open. Can everyone say that? Keep your eyes open. Say it again. Keep your eyes open. Why do we do that? Two really important reasons. One reason is sometimes we will see that the Holy Spirit is touching that person after we pray something. And that could be confirmation that what we heard from God was really from God. So we might be sensing, God wants me to pray, Dorcas, that he really loves you and he wants to give you like a fresh sense of his love for you. And she might start crying. Sorry, microphone. She might start crying. Her eyelids might flutter, she might start to shake, whatever. Doesn't really matter what the physical manifestation is. But that could be like, oh, that obviously touched. God's touching her through what I prayed for her. That's one reason. The second reason is, for me, even more important. She might be healed. I've been in situations where someone is praying for me, and I'm done. And they're like this. Like, God, heal James. And I'm like, would you... Amen. Amen. So we keep our eyes open, okay? We keep our eyes open. And you can keep your prayer really, really short and simple. I want to just encourage some of you. Some of you are worried, like, you don't know what all the ligaments are. You didn't take biology like I did. Let me tell you that we don't serve a pedantic God, okay? He's not going to be like, well, I would love to hear Dorcas's ankle, but you don't know that that's actually her Achilles tendon, so... That's not the God that we serve. And then the final step is, you know, you want to take their number down or their email address because you want to reach out to them again. Hey, Dorcas, I prayed for you on Sunday. I don't know if you remember. How's your ankle feeling? And then she may say, you know, my ankle's completely healed. In that case, you want to pray, you know, thanksgivings to God. Or she may say, you know, the pain went away for a little bit, but now the pain's come back. So to that you reply, well, can I continue to pray for you? Maybe we can meet up on Sunday after service and I can lay my hands on you again and pray for healing. Okay? Five simple steps. Now, raise your hand real quick if you now know how to pray for someone's healing. Let me see. A good chunk of you. A good chunk of you. Now, what we're going to do today is, you know, normally we ask for people to come to the front. What we're going to do instead is I'm going to challenge you a little bit and we're going to pray for each other. Now, really quickly, I did this last night. It's kind of like a trick question. I'm going to trick you. I'm telling you that I'm going to trick you. If you're over 30, will you raise your hand real quick? If you're over 30, I'm over 30. All right. Do you know what I know about all of you? Your backs hurt. You don't sleep good. You got a crick in your neck. There are some foods that don't agree with you anymore. So there's a good chunk of us who need some kind of healing today. So knowing that so many people around you in your room, if you would like to receive healing for anything, would you stand real quick if you're able to? Will you stand if you've got a bad back or you've not been sleeping well? Maybe you've been feeling kind of depressed or suffering from anxiety. Maybe even playing pickleball like a beast and you sprained your ankle or whatever. Okay, so church family, these are our brothers, these are our sisters in Christ. We love them, don't we? And I just taught you how to pray for healing in five simple steps. We're gonna throw that slide up again, just a second. Now, if you feel comfortable to and you know how to pray for healing, would you also stand up if you're able to? And will you go to someone who needs healing and pray for them? Now, if you're like in a group, if you're in a cluster where there's a lot of you standing up, you got to sit next to younger people. But also, you can pray for each other. You know, just form a little group. Like over here, there's like six or seven of you that are just all standing. Maybe just face each other. Come on, we're going to need some more people to stand up and be brave and to pray for our brothers and sisters. Okay? I know there's a good group of young adults over there who know how to pray for people that are still sitting down. They need to stand up and go and pray for people. There's some people over here, in this area here, that need to receive prayer. And then if there's any ministry team members left, would you come down the front? Because we would like to offer prayer just if you need prayer for something not related to healing. Now, we're going to end our service like this, praying for each other, but I'll pray a quick blessing over all of us, and I'm going to dismiss the service. So if you're not actively receiving prayer or praying for someone, you're dismissed. Let me pray a prayer real quick. Why don't you all join me in standing, if you're able? Father, I thank you that you still have compassion, that you still heal, that you still want to work through us, Lord. Lord, would you bless each one of us today? Thank you for being with us. Would you go before us, beside us, and behind us? And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, thank you so much for joining us today. If you're praying, stay praying. If you're a guest, check out our guest welcome in the info center. And then we'll see you next week.